Out of all the places you could possibly get into an accident, the long roads of Utah are arguably some of the worst. Vast swaths of red desert stretch out for as far as the eye can see, an infinite expanse between you and the rest of the world. Bringing a GPS is recommended for trips through such regions. Cell phone service is often unavailable. Too bad I had forgotten mine at home. While the Red Bull charging through my veins had up to this point allowed me to take the Kentucky to California commute generally unimpeded, the absence of any gas stations and miles and quickly diminishing light made me painfully aware that the weight in my eyelids could at any point take over, leaving me crashed in an utter wasteland for God knows how long. Thus, you can understand my absolute relief when there emerged from the hazy distance the first building I'd felt like I'd seen in hours. The road sign only increased my happiness when I saw what it was. The Angabite Inn. Now, random off-brand hotels in the middle of nowhere are practically never going to be good news. Another red flag was the complete lack of any cars in the parking lot, save for mine, and what I would imagine would be a staff. Despite all this, sleep-deprived me saw this as a gift straight from the heavens. And besides, I'd rather have an uncomfortable night in a dingy inn than crash half asleep in the middle of nowhere in the intense weather of Utah, slowly killing me. Before I could even think about it, I was already parked and opening my trunk. As I entered the lobby, wheeling my things behind me, I was immediately bombarded with an intense mediocrity. The clunk, clunk, clunk of the wheels against sidewalk turned into a soft purr as the suitcase met the old carpet floors that were likely last updated in the 80s. Fuzzy purple soft chairs flanked tables too short for anyone to comfortably use, and while there was a single TV, its monitor was all white, save for a screensaver-like notice bouncing around, a little red box saying, "Service unavailable." Apparently, it was more accurate than I intended it to be, as occupying the front desk was a slight, portly man in a work uniform, passed out asleep. I coughed, approaching him. His breathing pattern stopped cycling for a moment, but he returned to his snoring. I coughed slightly louder, watching his back rise and fall melodically as he paused yet again. I continued taking my chance. "Hello," I half said, half asked. This one finally got him, his eyes wide open and fearful, mouth blubbling like a fish out of water. "Hello, welcome to the Angabite Inn. How can I be of assistance?" He hopped back more into his chair, running his hands through his brown, greasy hair. A room, please," I responded. Yeah, of course." He seemed to have recovered this flow. "Yeah, a room. We have plenty. What are you looking for in particular? We could get you a suite for just a little extra. They're all available at the moment." No, thank you. I'm good. All I need right now is a bed, and that's it. I'll take whatever you got." He smiled. I don't know if you saw the sign in the parking lot. We're all empty. Might as well give you room, too. It's the closest. Probably most convenient if you're just trying to sleep." I returned the grin, but then stopped a little, confused. "Why room two?" I asked. "Do you not have a room one here? I mean, I'm fine with the room two, of course. I'm just curious, that's all." He grimaced for a fraction of a second before responding. "Well, I'm afraid that brings me to our next point. Listen, so between you and me, I think it's bullshit. Hotel rules require for you to verbally confirm to me that you, for no circumstances, will enter room one, and that if you do, any consequences are... Well, they're your fault rather than that of the Angabite organization." He paused slightly before continuing. Just don't go into room one, that's all." I verbally agreed, and then I paid for the room. But the warning was chewing at me, echoing through my mind was one question. What was in room one? Ironically, his precaution just made me infinitely more interested in whatever secret was behind there. After brushing teeth and getting everything all tucked away in my room, I decided on a plan of action. I had agreed that I wouldn't enter room one, and that promise was one I intended to keep. However, I mean, I never told him I wouldn't peek inside. And for the small peephole in all the hotel doors, that's exactly what I intended to do. It wasn't like anyone could walk out of the room to see me sleuthing, and there was no people in the first place.
I could feel cold sweat form on my hands as I approached the doorframe. You don't have to do this, I told myself. But I still found myself drifting ever closer to the door by the second. My hands, shaking slightly, placed themselves on the cool wood, and my eye gradually approached the peephole. My heartbeat was like a drum in my chest, as my eye finally finished its journey, however. The drum stopped dead in its rhythm. The room's walls and everything in them were just pure white. White bed, white bedstand, white curtains, white dresser, white everything. But what horrified me was not the color of the room, but rather what was in the very center of it. Sitting in a similarly white chair facing the window opposite of me was a little girl, long white hair cascading down her shoulders. She was inhumanly pale, as with everything else in the room, but also inhumanly still. Although you have no reason to believe me, I swear to you, if any such thing does truly exist, this was, well, at its definition, a ghost. My heart was once a drum. It interrupted the silence now at the pace of a machine gun, ripping at my mind. I couldn't take my eyes away, but neither could they process what they were seeing. I still can't. I don't know how I slept that night. I chalked up to the powers of an 18-hour car ride, but even so, it was impressive. So here's what I got careless. Me, considering myself a sane human being, also considered what I saw to be impossible, or at least increasingly unlikely to the highest degree. No, I had just gone through a rough day. I was mixing up dreams with reality, and what better way was there to prove that nothing was amiss than look back in and prove that I was wrong all along? There was no such thing. There was no spooky ghost looking at the window. So I did. And there was no white room. In fact, there was no room. There was no texture at all. Shockingly to me, the only thing I could discern was pure red, as if someone had built a wall of red right behind the door, blocking the rest of the room. The machine gun heart picked up again as my mind went racing. At least it's not that room, I thought to myself. Maybe they put red tape over the peephole to prevent people from looking in, you know, like me. Maybe I was just imagining things. Now, I got all my stuff in my car, but before I left, I asked the front guy about the room again. I simply couldn't contain my curiosity. I didn't quite have the chance to ask yesterday. I stammered awkwardly, but I mean, just, you know, just out of pure curiosity. What really is in that room? You know, the one that you talked about. He took in a deep breath, looking at me square in the eyes. The previous workers here had a whole superstition about it. I call it bullshit. All I know is bad shit happens and people go inside, and that's all I really need to know. Even so, some stories they told are about it. I'll say they're interesting, to say the least. I pushed him a bit further. Stories like what? I asked him, hardly containing my excitement. Okay, well, I mean, if you really must know, I suppose it can't dissuade your business since you're leaving rather than coming in, so there's no harm in telling you. He paused once more, and I could see him weigh the options in his head. Finally, he jumped back in. So, of course, this is all with a bucket of salt, total hogwash, you know, all of it. Either way, a story is a story, and I might as well tell it. It all started with these about 3 decades ago. Miss Jennings, owner's daughter, she died in that very room, owner of the hotel. Dante Jennings, he hasn't come back in years. I mean, the guy is totally torn up about it. According to the people who had my job before I did, she never left that room afterwards. Her spirit still haunts it this day. And here's where it gets creepy, though. He lowered his voice, leaning in slightly to me, a hint of a smile playing on his lips. Say the entire room, everything in it, yes. It's all white, totally white. All of her, too. He paused again, scratching his nose. Not all of her, I suppose. Only thing that were any different color were her eyes. leaned back out, voice back to normal as he bid me a hearty farewell.
Goodbye, mister. Goodbye, and do enjoy the beauties of Utah.